New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sharif, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. So over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge, and I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge, so lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period, but the whole thing is now based in video. So you can listen/watch, and every day for 7 days, we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, you know, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge. Hey guys, welcome back to the HA podcast. I'm joined today by Jen Hayes, Genevieve. Hello, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, she's going to be sharing her HA story. So I actually don't know your story. Mm-hmm. I didn't work with you. I think you did it all by yourself, right?
Well, yes, I DIY'd it, but I was part of the HA Society community online. Yeah. And I listened to your podcast religiously for a very long time. So I definitely feel good. Like I support. But mm-hmm. I, yeah.
Yes, you weren't without support, but you technically are a DIY. I love it. Okay. So then give us your HA stats, age, you know, where you're from, how long you had HA for. Could just kind of tell us where your story begins.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm 26 and I'm from Canada, but I'm currently living in the UK where I'm doing my PhD in biomedical engineering. And my HA started when I was 18 and I only got my period back about 4 months ago now. And so I had HA for about 7 years. And it's hard to say exactly where it started because when I was a teenager, I definitely had some ideas in mind in terms of what I thought an ideal female body should look like that I think were, now looking back, definitely problematic. I thought that, you know, as soon as I started gaining a little bit of weight as a teenager, going through puberty, that felt uncomfortable. It felt like that was something that should be avoided at all costs. And I was a very active, active child. And it didn't seem like a huge problem. And I think I had a really supportive family and a pretty healthy lifestyle at home in my family. So I still ate really a big variety of food. But the big, I think, shift came when I, just before my 18th birthday, I was diagnosed with celiac disease. So I'd had been having kind of some digestive problems, and I was diagnosed with celiac, which meant I had to go gluten-free. And it wasn't really, like, I didn't really get any support for that. I was just told, oh, you're celiac, so be gluten-free now. So I turned 18, like this is literally the day before my 18th birthday. And I was just taking, I took a summer off before I went away to university and needed to figure out what eating gluten-free was like. And for the first month or so, this really sucked because I couldn't eat the normal foods I was used to, like sandwiches and cereal and the stuff. And I actually started gaining weight, though, when I stopped eating gluten because that was wreaking havoc on my digestive system. So I gained quite a bit of weight, actually, in, well, not that much, but about 5 kilograms in probably less than 2 months. And this worried me a lot. And then I realized that being gluten-free gave me like a free pass to eat only healthy foods because I already had this dietary thing. So salads like were a good go-to gluten-free thing. And I realized that this was actually a big silver lining that, you know, oh, I've never really eaten super healthy before as I, you know, thought because I'd eaten carbs. I'd had some junk food now and then, whereas now I can actually eat really clean and be like this really healthy person that is so glamorized in the media. So I kind of started doing that and I lost quite a bit of weight, about 10 kilograms probably over the next year or so. And during that time, I also moved away to university. So I now had full control over my food and started exercising a lot more, going on runs and walks and things like that. And I was doing an intensive engineering program. So I felt like I was doing all the right things to be the, you know, perfect person, perfect woman. And my period stopped. And at first, I didn't think too much of it. I hadn't talked about my period much with anyone ever before in my life. I had no kind of intention to go and talk about it with other people starting then. So it took me a year after a year of not having a period. So I decided this, you know, was odd and I should probably see a doctor about it and just check that everything's okay. Mm-hmm. So I went to see a doctor. They checked for lots of different things. So the usual kind of scans, make sure there are no tumors or things getting blocked or big issues in my blood work. And honestly, everything looked fine to them, they said, except that my estrogen was extremely low, like basically non-existent. And they're like, oh, well, that's your problem. You do very low estrogen, but everything else is fine. They gave me the Provera progesterone test. I failed that. So it means I didn't get a withdrawal bleed from it trying to be induced. And they said, okay, go on birth control. Like, that's the thing to do. So I went on birth control for a couple of years. And that went okay for me. I got a withdrawal bleed from that. But after 2 years of taking that, I decided that I was still trying to live kind of a very healthy lifestyle, being really clean, exercising a lot. I got super into yoga, and kind of holistic living was my mantra. And so I figured, well, actually birth control pills, this, an artificial period. So I don't think I really need to be taking that. I'm going to try coming off it and see if I can get my period back naturally. So this was 6 years ago that I already knew that there was like a problem and that I needed to take a change and that there's got to be a more kind of natural way. And over the next 3 years, I tried every supplement that you can think of. I dieted more. I exercised more. I did all of those things because I assumed that that would be healthier. And the best way for me to make myself a healthier person and get my period back. And then along the way, I found the book Now No Period Now What, which is a really, really useful HA book. And I skimmed through it and basically immediately dismissed it when it said that weight gain was necessary. Because I, and which is crazy. Like, now that I like think back, it's just so absurd because I was so open to literally anything except gaining weight. And a huge part of that was that there were the societal images that I had in my mind. And I think the other things that held me back were that I saw other women around me who were thinner than me. And I was never underweight. I should also add that I was right in the middle of what a normal weight would be. And in fact, I saw a lot of doctors over the past 8 years, and none of them ever said that I was too thin or that I should stop exercising. I even asked them after reading Now Period Now What, I said, I've read that exercising can be negative for a period. Maybe I should stop that for a while. And they said, oh no, like that's generally like exercise is really good. You shouldn't stop exercising. I was like, okay.
Right.
And that was what I wanted to hear. So I kind of turned a blind eye to what I'd read and heard about otherwise. And it wasn't until last year, I work as a researcher in medical sciences and in biotechnology. And I came across some new papers that were talking about young women who have lost their periods in teenage years and was looking at their bone density. And it showed a really quite significant bone density loss, even in 6 months without a period for adolescent women. Really, really scary. And then it showed that a lot of these women, when they got their period back naturally, they were able to improve their bone density. And quite a bit more so than women who were taking the pill, for example. So there was something about naturally bringing your period back that was helpful for bone density. Yes. And this kind of freaked me out that I was like, well, if that happens after 6 months, it's been 7 years for me. Maybe that's the only thing I'm worried about, because I felt I was healthy, I was fit, I was running all these, you know, long distances, I was doing all the sports, like I was known as the healthy one. I always had my salad and like my superfood drinks and stuff. So I felt like I was fine. I felt like I'd kind of stopped talking to doctors about the fact that I was missing my period. It'd been so long. I've talked to so many doctors. I was like, at this point, I don't want to get pregnant right now. In the future, when I do want to get pregnant, then I can worry about it. The only thing that was like just eating away the back of my mind was, but what about your bone density? Like maybe your bone density is suffering. So I decided to pursue doctors to see if they would check my bone density for me. And my rationale behind that was that it had been a long time since having my period. I had really low estrogen levels all the time. And I just wanted them to check that my bone density was fine so that I could keep doing what I was doing. Cause I was sure that it was going to come back fine. And just, you know, ease my worries. So it actually was quite difficult to get that test. Because most general practitioners cannot send young women for bone density scans. So I had to get referrals for gynecologists, and the gynecologist wouldn't speak to me because I wasn't trying to get pregnant. So then I had to go and see an endocrinologist, and then the endocrinologist wouldn't take me, but they were able to refer me to a gynecologist. So this is the whole thing. It took months and months for me to finally get a bone density scan. But I did get one in Canada in December. So last December I went in and got a bone density scan done, and both me and the doctor who gave me my results were really, really shocked when it came back showing that I had severely low bone density, like osteoporosis level. So in terms of the way they measure is comparing it to what at your age it should, your bone density scan should be like based on your demographics. And mine were a Z score of like minus 3.2, which below minus 2.5 is considered osteoporosis. Normal is 0 to -1. And when I actually looked at like the bone density values, it is shockingly low in my spine. It was lower than what most women would ever experience in their lifetime as an adult ever. And my doctor, the doctor who gave me the results, said, I need to be really careful because I'm at a high risk of fracturing something. So no more kind of skiing for now. I needed to start taking calcium and vitamin D. That I should go away and try to keep eating a really balanced diet. And that's kind of what I was told. So that was a huge shift for me. Basically right away, like I'd known for a long time that I had HA and that I had never stopped dieting for like the whole time I'd known that. That was the one thing I hadn't really properly done. I hadn't let myself gain weight. And having this image of me as a young woman, even getting potentially severely disabled because of really low bone density was really shocking to me and really scary. I decided, you know what, I'm gonna gain as much weight as is needed. I've heard about this method. It's the only method I haven't tried, which is the going all in, eating all the food that feel, you know, lots of nourishing food, all the foods, as much as you want, and stopping formal exercise for as long as it kind of takes. So I went all in December, and I got my period about 4 or 5 weeks later, at the end of January. It happened really quickly for me, it almost seems comical because I literally tried everything, like every powder, every tea, I still love yoga very much, but I did a lot of, yoga practices as well to try to, kind of induce my period. But yeah, I just needed to eat a lot more food. And I did eat a lot of food. Like I was really hungry. I was hungry for a while. Like even after I got my first period, I still continued to gain weight for about the next month or so before I saw any plateauing. And I did gain quite a lot of weight, the most I've ever gained in my life. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't comfortable during the actual experience. It was liberating at times that I really removed all labels from food. I was eating ice cream, like almost every other day. Like it was, and that was okay. I really was happy to eat lots and lots of different foods and let myself eat a lot of foods that I so heavily demonized in my mind. And yeah, now it's been about, so just over, I've had 4 periods since then. And I track my cycle using body temperature and cervical mucus. Mm-hmm. And I've just started working with a coach who actually was part of your HA Society as well, Olivia Garassi.
Like a She's fitness trainer? Amazing. Yeah.
Yes, she's amazing. And the reason I decided to work with her was that I knew I wanted to introduce fitness back into my life. But I had never approached fitness with a balanced kind of approach. I'd always gone like balls to the wall, like super hardcore. And I wanted to introduce it slowly. And I wanted to build a sustainable lifestyle going forward. And I knew I hadn't done that before. And I'm not looking to lose weight anytime soon. I'm looking though to just start to reintroduce movement and start feeling like I can get out and feel more stronger and capable. So that's currently what I'm working on. And I definitely feel like I do have things to work on, but I'm so grateful that I did go through the process because it took me a long time to get there, but I'm really, really glad that I've done it.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580. Hey, did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Dani and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm. We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
Mm-hmm. On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist.
Yes.
And an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be painful.
No, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yeah. We looked forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah. Boom. There you go. Yeah. You know what I'm curious about? It's just so everybody's kind of going through this of like, you were willing to try anything but the weight gain. And we have all the evidence to show the weight gain is great for the HA and the weight gain is great for osteopenia and osteoporosis. The eating of calories, in general, is good for those things. And it was just the last thing that you wanted to try. But then you went and tried it and you were like, it was almost comical how quickly it worked. And I'm not looking for a particular answer in this. So like, please answer freely. What was it that bad when you actually began the process? Like, was it really as bad as you thought it was going to be? All that stuff.
No, I think that's one thing that I also, my approach was, I just think I'm going to start. Like, I'm going to try this. And I can stop at any time, like if I really feel I need to. But actually, when I first started and I was eating lots more food, and I'd heard that a lot of women need to change their clothing sizes and things like that. And at the beginning, I was like, I mean, I don't really see that. I didn't even kind of get to that point of thinking, oh, that's going to happen to me. To be honest, I was just new. I needed to eat more calories. I looked at the research. I went fully into my research books, and there is a
nice.
The strongest correlation in improving bone density for women who don't have a period is to consume more calories. That is like hands down the biggest thing. And that was the one thing I hadn't done. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try doing this. And I have to also note that I had an incredibly supportive, well, I have an incredibly supportive partner. And he was really supportive in just, he was like, just try it. Mm-hmm. And our kind of commitment, like our deal was, I was going to try this for 3 months. Because you can do anything for 3 months. Okay, I'm going to do this for 3 months. Because, and I assumed it would take at least that amount of time for me to get my first period. Like, I'd done enough research about it. Like, it's not very, like, I know it's, some women can get it really quickly, but I was like, 3 months is a good amount of time for, there's enough feedback in that amount of time to see whether I'm going in the right direction. And if it turns out that 3 months of, you know, eating more calories has been that terrible and is that bad, I can probably, you know, lose that weight again, or like, I'm not going to die.
So
like,
logical. Maybe, yeah. Give yourself an out, right? Like, yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly. And so it was just, you know what, I'm going to try this. It might not work, but it might work. So why not? Why not give it a go and see what happens? And it really wasn't, a lot of parts of it were not that bad at all. The big thing that helped me with the exercise component, because I was used to exercising every day. I would get up first thing in the morning and exercise fasted every single day. So instead I would get up and eat breakfast first thing in the morning. That was always like the first thing I would do. And then I would read a book or I would do some artwork. Those were the two main things that I would do. So I did a lot of painting and artwork during that time. I took a calligraphy like course online. And I read a bunch of books. And I think it was one of the big shockers for me in my first few weeks of doing this was that I mentally or kind of subconsciously, I thought I was going to lose all my friends by doing this. I like, this was one of the things that I just thought that, like not explicitly, but I just somehow thought I'd lose this piece of my identity and I didn't know who I would be and I wouldn't be valuable anymore if I was gaining weight, if I was eating, you know, lots of food, including junk food. If I wasn't the healthy person, I didn't know who I was going to be. And my friends didn't care at all that I mean, they were incredibly supportive of me, just being me and being healthier. They were so happy. In fact, a number of them were like, oh my God, this is like the best version of you we've seen yet. Like, you're happy.
Right?
Like, you're no longer complaining about us going for ice cream. Like, you're the one suggesting it. This is amazing. And in a lot of ways, a lot of my relationships got stronger, because of going through this. And I started to find other aspects of my identity that I think are so much more interesting, than just being the healthy one, the one who's always striving for fitness. There's a lot of aspects of my life I feel like I've gotten back. And one of the reasons I'm kind of easing back into movement and also balanced eating, I would say. And really it's not that I've actively tried to change how I'm eating. It's just that for the first time in years, I don't crave junk food. Like, it's not like this devil thing that I can't have. I can have it. I just don't feel like it all the time. Like, I sometimes just really don't feel like having the ice cream because I'm not hungry. But if I, you know, if I feel like it, or even if I'm not hungry, but do feel like having it, I'll have ice cream. It's fine. I feel way less stressed about it. And let me tell you that I could never have believed that that would be me. Like a few
totally years ago. Relate to that. Yeah. Totally was like, no, I just am this person. I will never have a normal relationship with food.
Yeah.
Totally believed that.
Yeah. And I had tried, like I'd read, because I actually had quite a, I almost had, it was quite similar to binge eating, where I would be perfect, like clean eating for weeks at a time. And then someone would bring over cookies and leave them or something, right? And I would have to eat, like I would eat all of them instantly. And it was, I couldn't control myself. And I felt like I had something really wrong with me because of that. So anything sugary or sweet or fattening, I would tell her I can't keep that stuff in the house. Like I just, you know, can't control myself around that. And it was a real like demon inside me. I really hated this part of me and it caused a lot of shame. Because I'd done some research about that and I knew that kind of restrictive eating could pair with causing that, but I would only ever let myself kind of eat to satiation for like a week. And then I get too scared. I'd be like, no, this isn't who I am. This is just, my body's just going to get like gain a ton of weight really quickly. Like that's, I'm just not built to be able to eat these foods. Like I just can't control myself. So, it just took longer than a week.
That's so amazing. Yeah, I love all of it. You have such a great mindset. And while you kind of made it sound easy, I know it was hard.
It was like, extremely hard. Oh. And I should add two other things. The first was that my hardest time during my my HA recovery, once I went all in, was I got my first period within about 4 weeks, and that I was absolutely overjoyed. I was so thrilled. But it took almost 60 days before I got my second one. And that was the longest, most painful 60 days ever. And I was eating more. I was gaining more weight than I had. Like I was doing all the stuff and I didn't ovulate. I got a really, really light period that month. And I was like, no, like I thought it had worked and now it's not working. I also had a number of factors. Like I got really sick, like right around when I probably would have ovulated, and I was like out with a fever for over a week. It was a really bad like stomach bug. It was really nasty. And I was just so, so stressed out. So it was definitely, it was during that time actually that I joined the HA community online. And that was a godsend for me. That's really what gave me the support I needed to keep going. Because my partner in that time was still really supportive. Just, you know, just stick with it. It's going to be okay. Like keep going. But there was lots of things that I knew he couldn't relate to. And I was having issues with sleep. I was feeling a bit bloated. Like my cervical mucus was changing. I didn't know what was normal and what wasn't normal. And joining the community online was really helpful because I immediately met quite a few people on one of the calls, and a few of them actually reached out to me like right after the call, and they'd related with my story, and we still are talking today. We still stay in contact with where we are in our journeys, and having that kind of support of people who are going through what you're going through, it really made a huge difference. And the other thing that I didn't mention was, so because I live in the UK, they asked me to get another bone density scan when I came back to the UK, because they couldn't use the scan results from Canada. So that took quite a few months to actually get scheduled and for it to happen. So I got a updated bone density scan about 3 weeks ago, and I was expecting that it would be about the same as what I had in Canada. I know that there is quite a big margin of error with bone density scanners. So it could be plus or minus a small amount. So I wasn't, but I was expecting a huge difference. But the doctors had said, well, it had been about 5 months since my previous scan. They would hope to see now that I have my, like, I'm menstruating again, and that I'm taking calcium supplements and gained weight, that they would expect to see a slight increase, possibly in bone density. But so that's what I was hoping for. And I was really thrilled that I had quite a significant increase in bone density, more than 10% in my spine, bringing me actually out of osteoporosis and into the osteopenia range, which in such a short period of time is incredible. And while I know that also I'm at an age where I can increase my bone density still for a few years. Women can increase their bone density at any age, but before the age of 30, it's even easier to do that. So I was told by my doctors that this was like the best time that I could get my cycle back, and that doing it now was a really worthwhile thing to do, as opposed to waiting until later. And they said, while you still can improve your bone density absolutely later on, that I was doing the right things by doing what I was doing now and not waiting. Cause I told them that I was thinking of like not really changing anything until I was maybe in my mid 30s or something like that, when I might want to have children. But I'm really glad that I've started this process earlier on to give my bones the best shot ever. I definitely would. I mean, it's easy to say, but if I could go back to my younger self and kind of tell her that this really was not that bad, because it is not. I mean, it was a few months of my life, and I'm healthier and happier than I was before. I think so I could have made it easier for sure, but I'm really glad to be here anyway.
Yeah. So good. Such a great, first of all, you're a great storyteller. So I just want you to know that you did an amazing job telling this, sharing the highs and the lows, bringing your partner in on it, shocking the doctors, like all of the things, and just seeking support and doing your research and like taking your fear and trying to be like, okay, I know that this is scary, but like, what is a fact, evidence-based way for me to approach this? And just like put my crazy on the shelf for a second and like, let's just go for it, you know? And so I really appreciate it. It was such a great story. And do you share online? Do you have anywhere that people can go to learn more about you, or are you actually
probably. If anyone wants to follow me on Instagram, I do respond to messages on there. And that's haze.genevieve on Instagram. And I'm also on the HA Society community. So anyone can send me a message on there. I'm always happy to chat. And I definitely had ups and downs. Body image was definitely like it's not an easy thing to tackle either. But I really think that sticking with it, finding a community, finding people, that are supportive is incredibly helpful. And yeah, I'm just grateful that I could, tell a little bit about my story in case there's anybody out there that can relate to any or all of the things that I've gone through as well. 'Cause that was really helpful to me.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Jen. I'm so glad I asked you on the show to share. You're the best. Guys, go meet her. If you're in the HA Society, go DM her. Just search her name, Jen, Genevieve Hayes. And we'll see all you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that this was inspiring to you. And if you are experiencing bone loss, evidence, okay? This is evidence that you can do it. So thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye. Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about TempDrop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So
TempDrop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm, and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that, maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.